Hello, this is Pastor Galen from Chicago First Church, and welcome to our podcast. Before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're listening from, we're glad that you're here. We hope that the message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast could be your first step to joining us at C1 in person sometime, or in our online community that meets every Sunday at c1naz.org/live. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message, and more importantly, we pray that you would experience God and that you're encouraged today. Amen. And as we enter into a time of prayer this morning, I hope you catch those words. God is here this morning. His Spirit is with us. I've seen different people across the C1 family this last week in a lot of different places. Some of you are rejoicing. You just got a new house. So there's new life, some new thing happening in your life, a new job. But I think of others in our family as well that are facing difficulties. I think of Pastor Phil, his dad, passed away last weekend. They had the funeral yesterday. I think about Marge Krestel, who passed away yesterday morning, and a lot of family, obviously, here. And God calls us, Romans 12, to be a family to God's family. Rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Weep with those who weep. This morning, collectively, as we pray together to God, I would encourage you to pray for those in our family who are excited or who also may be grieving. I'd encourage you as well, as I pray, tell God what you need. Thank him for what he has done for you. Psalm 34 says this, God's people call to him for help, and the Lord hears them when they call. He rescues them from their troubles. God draws close to those who are brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Would you pray with me this morning? God, we are thankful for you this morning. Thankful that you see us just as we are today. You know what kind of circumstances we find ourselves in today. You draw close to us when our heart is heavy, when we feel like we have a burden, the weight of anxiety or decisions or relationship or family matters, it's weighing on us. And yet, God, you tell us that you draw close to us in the midst of these things and that you hear us when we call to you for help. So God, we in these moments ask you for your help in the different areas of our life. For those of us that are experiencing something difficult in a relationship, would you bring reconciliation and forgiveness and love and grace in the midst of those situations? God, I think specifically for those in our church this weekend who are grieving something in some sense. Would you let them know that you're with them? You see them and you care for them. You will walk this road with them, even through the shadow of death. God, you are with us. I pray that through everything we do this morning, declaring that your kingdom has come and will come, through our prayers, through hearing your word and your message, God, that we would meet with you, that you would speak with us, and by your Spirit, you would change and transform us to be the resurrected people who walk in step with you. Thank you for your presence. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Just a moment, Pastor Brian is going to share our message this weekend. It's the final message in our series, Jesus is King. As you listen this morning, I would encourage you to ask yourself the question, what might God want to say to me today, and how do I respond to that?
And thank you, Galen. Can we thank our praise team just for leading us in worship? Well, August is almost out of the way in 2020, and so we are headed. These are days when we have our hands full. There is a lot going on. I met with Pastor Rob from our Austin campus this week. Some exciting things are happening there, and we were talking, and he is a school teacher, and so he was talking about online and how they're trying to be very, very intentional, and he said, we work really hard on our end, and to make sure the students have the equipment. And parents, he said, are really working hard on their end too to get everything right. And he said, but I had a parent send me a picture. The mom said, you know, I got this student prepared. Everything was ready. We tried to create the environment in the room. I heard you start the class. I left for just a second. And when I came back to the room, this is what I saw. Well, this is that's about 2020 right there, right? Dr. Bowling, the president of Olivet, said early on in the pandemic in a meeting that we were in, we have our hands full, but we are in good hands. And so it has been a pleasure to preach this truth and this reality: Jesus is King. We go back and we remember that he didn't just become king, but he has been king, and his movement has been going on for a long, long time. We've pointed back to the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, who, looking down the corridors of time, said in chapter 52, "Awake, awake, Zion, clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor. Jerusalem, the holy city, the uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Shake off your dust, rise up, sit enthroned, Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, daughter of Zion, now a captive." And then a little bit later on, he says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, as I say to you today, Lamont, as I say to those of you who are joining us online, regardless of where you are joining us from, our God reigns." Amen. Our God reigns. Your God reigns. That means that King Jesus saves. He knows how to redeem. He knows how to take what has happened in the past that can't be changed and redeem it for good. Regardless of the situation or circumstance that you're in, if we give ourselves to King Jesus, he will redeem it. He will redeem our time. He will redeem relationships. King Jesus calls. This is a king who is moving and active and who invites us in to his movement. King Jesus guides. How grateful I am. One of the promises about the coming of Christ was that there would be a day when God's people would live out this reality from the scriptures that says, "There will be a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it." One who will direct, one who will never leave, one who will never forsake. The Jesus that you gave your life to delivers on his promises, never to forsake. This King Jesus provides. So we have talked about these things over the last several weeks and celebrated them. And we need to remind ourselves of them in moments when it feels as if that the things are being turned upside down around us. We close this series with this question: what will be my response to the invitation of Jesus to join this movement of the kingdom of God? This movement that is now. This restoration process that God is in now. This transformation process that is happening to hearts and souls now. COVID did not stop the ministry of the church. People have come to faith. People have taken steps of faith, and God is doing extraordinary things through his body. And we've talked about those. But ultimately, individually, we have to answer this question for ourselves. What is my response going to be to the invitation of Jesus to join this movement of God? You've seen us as a church and a leadership team take some different angles on things in the last several months. Galen come on board and has begun to assist me in preaching in order that I might be in different places and that we might expand the kingdom and create the kind of structure underneath everything that we can advance and we can move. None of those plans have changed. But we all have to decide if we're going to join the movement. Now, this movement is an interesting one. The movement of Christ is one that really has no parallel or comparison. His movement, King Jesus, is not one of scepter, sword, or pen. It is not one of scepter, meaning he didn't come and claim an earthly kingdom, and he could have. He could have put everything to rest. There would never have been any doubt any longer about who was in charge of the earthly kingdom. And sometimes, I almost wish he did, because it would have cleared things up. But he didn't. He did not come to pick up a sword. The day will come when God's wrath will be revealed and judgment will happen, but he didn't come that way. He could have picked up a sword and rose against every form of evil and every form of violence. He could have done all of that with violence, but he didn't. That's an interesting reality. I I would contend that that thought of him not picking up a scepter and him not picking up a sword is a bit of a mystery that I live in. He could have picked up a scepter. He could have picked up a sword. Instead, he picked up a cross and a towel. But he wasn't running to be an earthly king. They even tried to make him king at one point, and he refused. I confess that there's a lot I don't know. I'm reading to you now from some things I wrote in my own journal. I seriously doubt if the Holocaust would have stopped without the sword, without intervention of a military kind. There are other wrongs that it has taken a sword to stop. And while I seriously doubt if the Holocaust would have ended without the sword, I know that genocides didn't. There is a battle and there is the war. And while we recognize that there are times when reluctantly, with great pain, governments and rulers must pick up a sword to maintain and to free and to do all of those things, we also live in this tension that those who live by the sword will die by the sword. And it's interesting because our natural leaning when things get crazy is to want to pick up a scepter and rule or pick up a sword. But Jesus didn't come to win the battle. He came to win the war. And that's very different. And then he did not pick up a pen. Now, this was a new thought to me. You know, we have the Gospels and the accounts of the birth and life and death and resurrection of Jesus are coming to us from different angles. And there are differences in how people viewed them. And some people look at those differences, which have nothing to do with the truth that's being conveyed. But some people look and say, well, see, it contradicts itself. And so I've wondered, why didn't Jesus just take his own pen out? Instead of God inspiring others, why didn't he write it in stone? And he didn't. He didn't write anything except something in the dirt once that we still aren't quite sure what it was. Why? And here's why. And this is critical. For those of us who love the scripture, this is critical. Because he wasn't concerned about the different viewpoints in terms of how they viewed what was happening, or even how they quoted him. Because he was going to be there when people read it. He didn't pick up a pen because he was the pen. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so this reality that the greatest change agent of all time came without scepter, without sword, and didn't even write in stone something that would be preserved for us because his presence would be here. He came to win. But that's hard sometimes to recognize. And it was hard for the people of Jesus' day. They expected scepter, sword, pen. Going back to the Old Testament, there was a prophecy about the Messiah that surely left people a little baffled at times. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious. And the people would have said, oh, it's going to happen. Lowly and riding on a donkey. Wait, what? That's not what the kings ride. They ride stallions and war horses. And this must have perplexed the people down through time. And then he says, I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. Wait, how are we ever going to be victorious if we do this? He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. That's not the way that we would formulate the ending. And then Jesus came. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Jesus did not pick up a scepter. He did not pick up a sword. He did not pick up a pen. He picked up two things. One was a cross. The cross. When you think about the power of the cross, of what happened on that Friday afternoon, the incredible power. Colossians, and I could have went lots of different places in Scripture, but this was the one that came to me. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Wow. Atoning sacrifice for our sins, our redemption, disarming. Of all the things that people would have described as disarming, it wouldn't have been getting crucified. And yet through that movement, our King disarmed the powers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them. They sought to make a public spectacle of him. And all the while, that cross became a public spectacle of the fact that Jesus is King. And so, that's one powerful cross. Nothing can separate us from the love of God because of that cross. There is no sin that cannot be atoned for if our heart seeks atonement and forgiveness because of that cross. Because of that cross, there will be a resurrection, and we will reign and live with him. Because of that cross, because of the way he died, we don't have to be afraid to, because he is King and he is there. And so, the call for believers is to pick up our cross. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." He calls for us, when we're tempted in the argument or in the moment, at work, at home, to pick up not a physical sword, but boy, we can cut, can't we, with our words. But instead of picking that up, we will be part of his movement when we pick up a cross. And that changes everything. When we're tempted to pick up a scepter, my way, right? We're reminded that Jesus picked up the cross. And Jesus invites us to be part of the movement by picking up our own cross. It starts with denying self. When we deny ourselves, we're picking up the cross. When we say it's not about my rights, it's not about my moment, it's not about me, but it is about God, we're picking up our cross. When we commit ourselves to do what Jesus did, which was obey the Father, the Bible says he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. When we are obedient, even though it hurts, even though when we don't quit when we would like to, when we get to a point, it's easy to start stuff, but it's tough when it becomes a cross. It's wonderful when you begin something and you give yourself to something and it's a passion and a calling, but passions and callings have a tendency to become crosses if you carry them very far. Pick up our own cross. There are some things that I cannot carry if I'm carrying my cross. I just can't. I'm limited in what I can carry, both physically and spiritually. It's really hard to carry a grudge if you're carrying a cross. It's really hard to drag bitterness around if you've determined to carry the cross. And the interesting thing about this, we have a tendency, for a long time, I felt like Jesus said, Brian, I want you to carry your cross, and so you're going to bear a burden. And I'm like, okay, I'll bear the burden, and I'll die quietly, kind of a thing. Folks, when he calls for you to carry the cross, he's not calling you to a position of weakness. He's calling you to a position of power. Remember what his cross did for all of us? While your cross and my cross is not his cross, let me tell you who changes the family, the person who's willing to carry the cross, the person who's willing to carry the burden. Let me tell you who changes the community. It are people who get inside of it and say, I am going to carry this burden. No one may see it. People may not appreciate it. It may be much tougher than I thought it was, but I'm going to carry it anyway. I'm going to carry the truth of God when it will be something that won't always be accepted. What does it mean to carry the cross? It means to live on mission like Jesus did. Not his mission, your mission. Where he's called you to be and doing what he's called you to do. Oh man, it's so much of a temptation to pick up the scepter or the sword. This movement calls for the cross. And I challenge you, if you have not made a decision for Christ, if you have not committed yourself and you need to take that first step, we want to join you in it. And we're going to pray at the end of the service, but I would encourage you, if that's where you are, you need to start out or start over. You say, man, I've picked up a lot of stuff, and I need to lay them down and allow and be part of what God's doing. If you text 474747 to see one or to see one decision, we will follow up with you and help you in that regard. The cross. The second thing that he picked up was a towel. The towel. This comes from John 13. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Think about this, the full extent of his love here. These are the last moments he's going to have with his disciples. So, I mean, think about that. I often think, as a pastor, I'm around a lot of times when folks die and go to heaven and leave this world, and occasionally, sometimes you have that cool moment when the family can gather in, and it happened with Pastor Phil's dad last weekend. The family can gather in, and the person who's leaving can express their love, and there can be this moment. And in those moments, it's what's most important. That's what you communicate. Jesus didn't talk about a scepter. He didn't talk about a sword. He didn't talk about a pen. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Remember that. Could have done anything. The scepter's right there if he wants it. The sword's right there. And that he had come from God and was returning to God. Man, when you know who you are in God, It changes the way that you live. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord. And rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Now, the invitation to pick up a cross was an invitation to experience power in an extraordinary way for good. The invitation to pick up a towel is not an invitation to just go be nothing. It's to pick up a towel and make a difference. You will be blessed if you do them. But we're busy, and serving others often comes in our marginal time. But folks, Jesus changed the world with a cross and a towel. When I think about the difference that this moment made, if you know the history of Christianity, you know that hospitals and orphanages and compassionate ministry and service has been done in his name, much of it tied to this very moment. That was one powerful towel right there. It changed everything. You know who changes families? You know who changes communities? You want long-term change. There's things that happen short-term that have to happen, but if you want to win the war, you do it with a cross and a towel. So if it's time for you to pick up the towel, where are you carrying the towel these days? Where are we serving? We can help you with that. There are multiple opportunities. The number of folks who are serving, and we're talking about reopening children's ministries hopefully in a few weeks and beginning to do that, but there's ministry that's gone on this whole time. From one end to the other, whether it's coaches for recreation or whatever, we're serving here. He calls us to pick up the towel. His movement is not one of scepter, sword, or pen, but of cross and towel. Our response to him is an extraordinary one. The cross and the towel are powerful tools. You are aware that Pastor Phil, his father, went to heaven last Sunday morning. I got to be in Ohio representing you to pay honor and respect to Philip Wendell Kazee. And having been there in that room and experiencing the life of his father, I now understand why Phil is the way he is. Phil and Brenda are extraordinary servants. And this life well lived was a life of the cross and the towel. And a little bit of Henri thrown in once in a while, I learned. The cross and the towel. His great-grandchildren and grandchildren got up and said there were three things about Grandpa. He loved his wife. He loved his family. He loved his church. And he did it all because he loved Jesus. Pastored one church for 39 years, was married for 65 years. And person after person got up and began to tell stories. One gentleman got up and said, every once in a while, over the last decades, I would be talking to someone and I would quote that verse of scripture that said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changed lives then and he changes them now. And once in a while, someone would say, prove it. I would point to Wendell Kazee. That is a life well lived. The cross and the towel. We were in the foyer after the service and talking with Phil, and a young Hispanic pastor came up. Well, he wasn't that young. He was a Hispanic pastor came up and said, there's a story I've never told you. A few years ago, I got angry and upset and disappointed in the ministry I was leading. Some things had happened, and I was done. And I wrote my resignation, sent it to the DS. I was done. Your dad called me. And he said, first name, I love you. I think you've overreacted. I don't want you to quit. He goes, at that moment, I thought, well, how can I unquit? You know, so I called the DS and they did. And he goes, I'm still leading that ministry today. Not because of a scepter or a sword. Those grandchildren and those children loved and experienced this life of love, not because of a sword or a scepter or even a pen, but because of a cross and a towel. And so, as we close this series, where the band, the praise team, is going to sing a song that I want you just to reflect in, and I'll come up and pray a closing prayer. But may we come out of a series celebrating our King with a simple thought. I am a disciple of Jesus. I'm here on assignment. How can I help? We are the body of Christ. We are here on assignment. How can we help? Listen, reflect, and I'll come back and pray.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes, to fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the
Father God, all the glory goes to you. We celebrate Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And where there is someone today who needs to start out or start over, because of your powerful cross, that blood still flows and cleanses. And your word says that if we confess our sins, we confess our need for you as a Savior, that you will save us and redeem us and cleanse us. And we stand upon that now as we start out or start over. And for those of us who have been followers for some time, may we recommit ourselves to the fact that Jesus is King and we are his disciples. We are where we are by assignment. He will provide, he will lead, he will redeem. And in moments when the earthly kingdoms around us are shaking and our hearts are broken, may we remember those words, "Awake, O Zion, sit up, your God reigns." And so may our lives be defined as one who carries a cross and a towel. Make it so in our hearts, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us on C1's podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, go to c1naz.org and click on Next Steps. There on our website, you can also find our service times and more information about our church. We'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll always have the newest episodes. And feel free to share today's podcast with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a good day.